That'll work. With me in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. For those that have not been with us, we have been moving tediously and for some probably seemingly endlessly through the book of Galatians because we've spent very little time in Galatians on the study of Galatians. So if you can figure that one out, you're probably doing better than I am. But at any rate, we will continue to use it as our backbone theme. This morning, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want to give you just a few reminders as we continue to open up the beauty of the grace of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, one and the same. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And go on down, if you would, all the way down to... Excuse me, I've got you in 1 Corinthians. It's supposed to be 2 Corinthians. I don't know where I'm going. How are you supposed to know? That's still the wrong verse. That's the one I'm going to later. 1 Corinthians 1. There we go. You can't say that you haven't been in your Bible already this morning. Verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. That'd be the rest of us. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Can you say wow? Can you say it backwards? All right. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now, this thing called is kind of lost. The idea is kind of lost in translations. How many know that God died for all? And salvation is for all. Romans 8 says all were called. All were predestined or predestinated, depending on where you're at there. Okay, all. But how many know there has to be a receiving? Amen? How many... in here have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Everything changed. You received that calling and partook. This is what he's speaking. Those who have received this call, okay, that are in him. So he's, this just so that helps kind of straighten that out. Go back to 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. It's kind of an interesting thing. In other words, recognition by the world of greatness and of nobility and of mightiness, not many among those who are called slash born again. And he makes an interesting comment. He says, after the flesh. As I promised you a couple of weeks ago, we're going to continue in this and what that means. Okay? I wish that, you know, this morning, it'd be nice, you know, we've got a handful of people that have not been with us. I'd love to be able to go back and recap. The only thing I can tell you is, go back and listen to the audios that we've had up until now. There is no way. I'm going to make some statements this morning that I have already qualified. One thing that I want to make sure you understand straight up front, no matter where we go today, grace is not an excuse for living in sin. It's not. And somebody who is living willfully and perpetually in sin is not walking in grace, but are actually walking according to the law. Now, that may throw you a little until we go in and see what the Scripture tells us is walking according to, or that which pertains to the flesh, and walking after or according to the Spirit. How many know we need to look at what the Scripture says about these things if we're going to understand? Last couple of weeks ago, I talked about how that charismatics, Pentecostals, so-called Spirit-filled, and I hope we straighten that out a couple of weeks ago. If you didn't hear that, you can go back and get the audio. We have it on our website. They provide it on discs, and from what I understand, soon will be YouTube. God forbid. What am I going to do on YouTube? At any rate, so... Where was I at? No, I know that. The whole idea that many of us who are from what is called a Spirit-filled background or Spirit-filled churches, which is kind of an arrogant comment, because then that means that Pastor Wayne down here at Grace Bible and Outer Loop, they're not Spirit-filled. Let me tell you something. If you have Jesus, the Spirit dwells in you. Now, there is something called the baptism in the Holy Ghost. There, doctrinally, there may be a separation, but although it's vital and important to me and it changed my life, it's peripheral to my being in the same body and working towards the same effort of loving the world with the love of Jesus. Just because you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost does not mean you're better than, higher than, smarter than. In fact, some of the dumbest Christians I ever met were Spirit-filled, baptized believers. They became so heavenly-minded, they were zero earthly good. How many know that it is the Word of God that transforms the believer? Thank God for the Holy Ghost, which empowers and gifts us to make a difference. There's something... I mean, it is something Jesus gave, so it's got to be good. But we've got to get our understanding square on this deal that we're not better than because we are so-called Spirit-filled. So a lot of confusion there. A couple of weeks ago, we ironed some of that out. What I do want to tell you is this: walking according to the flesh and walking according to the Spirit have nothing to do with what a lot of us have thought. Somebody that we deem somebody who walks according to the Spirit is somebody who is floating about 2 inches off the ground. They're looking in a far-off area, praying in other tongues under their breath. I mean, they just look so really super holy. And I'm not making fun of that. There's times when you might see me there. Not 2 inches off the ground. But it doesn't make me... That's not necessarily... There is a Spirit infilling and being continually filled. Ephesians 5, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but rather be filled continually, the original says, with the Spirit of God. How many are thankful for the continual filling of the Holy Ghost? So I'm not backing off of that at all. What I'm saying is that we confuse these terms because we just hear what's being said, we embrace what's being said, we never look at it ourselves. And so this is why we're taking the time to go through and look at these things in a little more depth. Continuing on, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh. Can you say after the flesh? So there's something here that he's looking at. We're going to look at this in the life of Abraham and Paul and help us iron out some of these ideas. There is a reason why there are people who claim the message of grace and yet still walk bound, why that is that way. And we want to help you. If that's you, I want to help you see Jesus in a greater way this morning. If it's not you, I still want to help you see Jesus in a greater way, in a more powerful way. As we unfold, as Paul said in the book of Galatians, he said, I did not confer with flesh and blood. I didn't even go to the leaders of the church, but I got somewhere alone. And he said, this message I received as a result of a revelation of Jesus Christ. How many would lift your hands with me this morning and say, thank you, Jesus, for a greater revelation. Come on, all over the church, a greater revelation of who you are. Hallelujah. That makes all the difference. Okay. Verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. I love Psalms. It says that out of the mouth of babes, he has ordained strength. If you're a brand new Christian here this morning, you're not less than anything. Now, I encourage you, you need to be discipled. You need to stay in the Word. You need to let the transformation of that Word having its impact on your heart, changing, cleansing the conscience, helping you. We're told in Romans 12, 2 that we're not to be, we have a choice to make. And we can make the choice to not allow the world to shape us, but rather be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we know what this says, the good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God for each one of us. Amen? You doing all right? Okay. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things which are. That no flesh, here it is again, that no flesh should glory in his presence. No flesh. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God, this is powerful this morning. Some of you need to reach out there this morning and take this for yourself. I mean, it's for you already, but I mean, reach out there by faith and receive it. Speak this truth. Philemon 1:6, if you're new with us, this is a good scripture to write down. It shocks a lot of people that haven't been around a lot of grace teaching. But Philemon 1:6 says this, that the communication of our faith is made effectual. Let me paraphrase. The expression of your faith, which is the faith of Jesus in you. Are you here today? The expression of your faith is made effective when you acknowledge all the good that is in you in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say that again in case you missed it. Philemon 1:6, write it down, says that your faith and the ability to communicate it, to express it, is made effective. How many would like to have faith that is effective? Yes. You have faith if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've got that. It was delivered to you. Wasn't your own anyway. But Philemon 1:6 says that that faith becomes effective, effectual, when you dare to acknowledge all the good that is in you. Most of religion is telling you how much you lack and why you're in the mess you're in because of all that you lack. I don't need anybody to tell me that. I don't know about you, but I'm fully aware of where I lack. I remind myself, the devil reminds me, others around me will remind me. How many can say amen? Others will point out your faults. But there is one who is true and faithful, closer than a brother, my friend and master and Lord and Savior. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Hallelujah. Who doesn't point out my fault, for he spread out his arms on an old wooden cross, and there the words were murmured as blood was shed. Not any blood, but the eternal blood of the Lamb. John said, "Behold the Lamb which takes away the sin of the world." John the Revelator spoke of a Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. How He loves you and I. I'm here glad for Jesus today. Good news. There is one who is not my accuser. There is one who does not point out my past or even my present inability to walk this like I know I should. Jesus, the faithful. The religion and all that is with it points you to yourself. But Jesus says something shocking in His Word. He said, if you acknowledge all the good that is in you, what good is He speaking of? He's speaking of 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, they're a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And the next verse says, all these things are of God. You better start looking inside the new you. And the only place you're going to find that is not through your emotions, not through your surroundings, not through others, not through Reader's Digest or any other kind of literature. You're going to find it in examining what James calls in James chapter 1, the mirror of the law of liberty. Pretty awesome. Philemon 1:6 says, my faith, something, a switch flips. And all of a sudden, I'm not just talking stuff, but there's a volcanic eruption that's coming from the inside out of a heart of belief. And out of that comes a word that is spoken. And Jesus says to us, if you say unto this mountain, don't look at me like that and put me with a certain group and oh, your word of faith. Stop all that nonsense. That's why the devil's gotten into the church. And there's a spirit of unbelief in the church. When it comes to these things, how many know that Jesus said, greater things shall you do? And He didn't make it hard. Right here, we know Jesus said, if you will say unto this mountain, you got something in your life that's looming big and large and casting a shadow and threatening to extinguish your joy and your walk with God. The Bible says, look at that mountain and start talking to it. One of the greatest forms of prayer is shoulders squared, head high, eyes wide open in the name of Jesus. Be thou removed and cast into the sea. And He says, if you believe what you say and you don't doubt in the heart, doubt in your heart what you're saying, what you will, He says, you will have what you say. A lot of us are having a lot of what we've said and it's not very good. I want to invite you to begin to say some new stuff. Begin to prophesy. True prophecy is not a lot of this stuff that you hear, but it's you letting the Word of God rise big on the inside of you and let it walk, be spoken out of your mouth concerning your situation, those around you, making a difference. How many know the Word of God never fails? Three of you believe that, so we'll keep preaching. All right. So, let's go back to this. 1 Corinthians 1:27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world. Sounds foolish to talk like that. It embarrasses some. It's sad, but so much of the prevalent teaching in the church has taught new believers to be suspicious of anybody that talks like that. It's not logical. You bet your boots it's not logical. For God is not limited to man's brain. Jump on down to 29 where we left off, that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made. So right now we're getting a little picture, a way to do what we're talking about. Philemon 1:6 says what? Your faith is energized, comes into play. Listen, You can get a hold of a message back a number of months ago. But if it seems to be failing you now, it's because you must realize that this is not a message or a method or a list of rules. You can take the new covenant message of grace and turn it right back into a legalistic pattern, and it will produce nothing for you. For this is all about relationship. Philemon 1:6 says, your faith is made effectual. It's energized when you acknowledge. Here's another word we could use. Admit that he's right and you're not. Acknowledge that what he said about you is greater than what you feel about yourself. Acknowledge that what the Word of God has spoken over you because of your faith in Jesus. As you struggle and trip and fall and work your way. How many know it's a battle sometimes? I'm here to tell you today that the Christian life, as I heard Brother Womack say not too long ago, once again, and he's absolutely right. He said the Christian life is not hard to live. It is impossible to live. That's why you need a supernatural difference. That's what we're going to be talking about. You doing all right? Isn't this fun? I love the Word of God. That no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him. Here you are. We're going to do some acknowledging. But of Him are ye. Some of you need to stop listening to me preaching right now. And noticing the color of my shirt, or if my zipper's down. I don't make sure we're good. All right. And you need to hear. Matthew 11:15 and many other places, Jesus said something really strange. He says, let him that has ears to hear, let him hear. Spirit of God speaking through Paul to young Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2, I believe it is, he says that in the last days, there will be those who will not endure sound doctrine. I'm sorry, but I will never be 3 points in a poem. And I understand probably more than any of you that my manner and way of delivery is very lacking in expertise and finesse. And I'm not trying to ask for compliment. Don't even do that. That's not my point. I know that if it's not by the Spirit of God, nothing's going to happen anyway. We absolutely cannot compromise the truth. Are you with me? And I have to pray that the grace of God would cover and hover so that you would hear what Spirit of God is saying and hopefully forget what was come out of the flesh of Mr. Lee Shaw. But aren't you glad he uses individuals? You as well. Okay? But I want to tell you that Paul says that in the last days there would be those who would not endure sound doctrine. The word endure there means that there's going to come a time when you're going to hear a truth. And the first time you hear it, it's going to be, well, I haven't heard that before. Or I've heard it, but I never heard it like that. And then the next time you hear it. Now, right there, a lot of people never make it. Because we're being taught in the church right now to be judgmental, to be critical, to be shoppers. We've forgotten that this is about bodyhood. This is all about becoming one in Jesus. Our area is hurting. Are you here this morning? People never get fat past that first deal. They've been taught to be suspicious of anything that is different. Let me tell you something. If you throw something out because it's different or it goes cross-grain to your way of thinking the first time without ever examining it, you're in trouble. Boy, it's quiet in here. Are you with me? I remember hearing things the first time When I was making this change and discovering a whole new Jesus, somebody would make a comment and I would go, that's blasphemy. One day I picked up my laptop and threw it across. Before, I don't do that kind of stuff. You ask my wife, I don't throw stuff. It happened before I even realized what I had done. I picked up Brother Womack had said something about the purifying of the conscience. And I'd been raised all my life that my conscience was the voice of my spirit. And when he showed that to me in Hebrews, I thought that messes everything up. That means I don't know anything. That means that I threw my laptop. That's blasphemy. That's error. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, right? In time I heard it. How many of you have heard something over and over and over again, and one day you had, what's that place down at the Grand Canyon, the main entrance, you turn right instead of left and you go up to the smaller mule barns to the right? No. That's where you go down to. But there's an old mule barn. If you can hike down from there, there's a point way down in there we went to one time that's called the Ooh-Ah Point. You remember that? Am I saying it right? You know? How many have listened to something over and over again and then one day you had an aha? Epiphany, somebody said. That's too fancy of a word for me. Okay? Huh? A revelation of a word you'd heard over and over again. Be careful what you throw out. Remember, truth many times will sound like foolishness to an unrenewed ear. Now, I'll tell you something. If somebody says it's a truth and they can't back it up in the Word of God by at least two or three witnesses, Jesus said, Paul repeats it in Corinthians, you better run. Because that is error. How many know the Holy Spirit is never going to take you anywhere outside of the confines of His own Word? We doing all right with that? Okay. When truth comes to you, don't, or maybe you don't know if it's truth or not, but you hear something that your heart jumps, but your head's going. Would you yourself and also help others to say, wait, slow down. Let's at least hear it out. Examine it. Take some time. Let's don't, you know, some people, the only exercise they get is jumping to conclusions. And in the believer's world, that means jumping from church to church. How many know God wants to do a lot of things in our area? It's not nothing to do with His desire. Amen. Boy, you're a sober bunch this morning. I guess it's kind of a sober message. So, look at what he says. You ready to acknowledge right now? Jesus says, let him that has ears, let him hear. Paul, by the Spirit of God, speaking to young Timothy, speaks to us, and he says, in the last days there will be those who will not endure. Can you say with me, endure? That means the first time you hear it is one thing. The second time you hear it, and after a while, you're starting to hear it a third and fourth time, and now it's like, oh, geez, this again? That's a troubling spot. We need to people of God to be praying, because that's a troubling spot for a lot of people, because right there we can continue or lose out and do another loop of defeat. Are you hearing me today? Endure. I find it interesting. He uses the word endure sound doctrine. In other words, there's going to come a point when sound doctrine is being preached that you're going to feel like you are enduring. I've heard Chad say it many times. There's no real secret. I just kept coming back.
I got involved. I committed myself to a process. This guy served in about every area of the church and done so with excellence. I don't mean to brag or lift up an individual, but he himself will tell you he wasn't perfect during that process, nor is any of the rest of us. But it held him in there. A branding iron that can make a permanent mark on the hide of a young beef does so because it was held in the fire long enough to glow like the fire itself and impart a mark that was permanent on whatever it touched. I want to challenge you today. Hold yourself. Endure sound doctrine. Hold yourself. You can't be here 1 week and a few weeks later. And listen, your kids are watching. You can talk it all you want, but your kids see what the priorities are. I'm not saying to a church or to a man. You should know by now, if you attend this church, I don't do that. I don't guilt people. God's not watching your attendance. And let me tell you something. Lack of attendance will not change God's heart towards you, His love towards you, His promise for you, His ability to bless you, to answer your prayer. But it will begin to harden your heart towards Him. And the first place you'll notice it is your heart begins to harden towards others. Hold yourself in the fire till you begin to glow like the one who called you out. And when you have the opportunity to speak, there'll be a mark. I don't know about you, but certain people in my life spoke things into my life as a teenager that to this day I can't get away from. They loved me enough, loved God enough to say something. And a ready iron close to the fire of God put a permanent mark on a young guy's life that I've never been able to get away from. Do you know that same Spirit of God? Excuse me. If you've named Jesus as your Savior, dwells in you. Are you a spectator or a player? Are you a thermometer or a thermostat? Do you reflect the temperature of our world? Are you involved with the Word of God in your mouth and setting the temperature where you're at? And God isn't waiting on you to be perfect. It just doesn't work like that. Right there, where you are, at your place of growth, with your struggle, in there, begin to open your mouth and speak the Word of God. You'll live better by accident than you ever did on purpose when you dare to believe God. Can you endure sound doctrine? I believe you can. Bump your neighbor and say, you can do it. Endure. I want you to think about that. You don't hear that anymore. What can a man say in 25 minutes that's going to impact your life? I understand one split second under the anointing of God changes everything. I got that. But hold the phone. Actually, turn off your phone if it's on. All right. Go back to, well, let's finish this. You'll enjoy this. But of him, so here we are acknowledging, making our faith supercharged. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Don't ever say I'm stupid. Start saying I have the wisdom of God. Christ in you has been made unto you. First off, straight out of the chute. Here we go. Can you say with me, wisdom? I've heard people say, that grace message, it causes people to get flaky and they get immature. Excuse me, if you're getting the whole message out of the Word of God, it makes you wise. Grace. I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me at a time when I was looking at all this with much fear and trembling, and I heard Him come right up out of the inside of me, and I could not utter the words. I mean, I could not but utter the words, grace makes me wise. I don't look at something anymore by the Spirit of God. I see through it. You may not be there yet, but I would invite you this morning to say with me out loud, grace. Makes me wise. I'm not talking about a message. Titus 2, 11 and 12. Write it down if you're new with us. Write it down if you're not new with us. Mark it in your Bible. If you can't mark in your own Bible because you don't like doing that, mark in your neighbor's Bible. Borrow it. Mark it. Write it down. Says that grace appeared to all men, bringing salvation and teaching. Grace is not just a message. Grace is a person. Would you say with me one more time this morning, grace has made me wise. Now you may be dumber than a brick right now and making some really stupid mistakes, but if you'll stop walking according to the flesh, and begin to realize what it means to walk in grace, you'll make decisions and do things almost seemingly knee-jerk that are born out of the heart of God that will cause you to begin to rise in a whole new plane in your walk with Jesus. Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. Thank you. But of Him are ye in Christ, who of God has made unto us wisdom. And I want you to look at the next one. God speaking to Peter says, don't any longer call unclean what I call clean. He was speaking of Gentiles who hadn't even received Jesus. How much more so those of you who have come into Christ because of whom you have believed. The voice from heaven says, don't any longer let out of your mouth concerning yourself say the words, I'm unclean. Begin to acknowledge what I, through the miracle process, the regeneration of the Spirit does to the human heart when they put their faith in Jesus. How many are glad for righteousness, which is of faith? This morning, He said He's been made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification, set apart. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, I'm set apart? Oh man, I don't know about you. I haven't got that figured out yet. There's a process happening. I'm not there yet. But the Bible says that God sees me as set apart and holy unto God in Jesus. Say with me, I'm wise. Grace has made me wise. I'm righteous. Grace has made me righteous. Oh man. Here's the tough one. I'm sanctified. That means you're actually being either crazy or you believe what God says, because what you're actually saying when you say that is, I'm holy. Oh, we can do all this stuff because we've heard all the buzz, we read all the books, we can talk, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. But when it gets down to saying I'm holy because of, now I understand we're speaking of your inner man. I understand the outside. You look at some of the stuff that new Christians do and some of the stuff that Christians been around forever do because of confusion. And how many are willing to join us in the journey of eliminating the confusion and just seeing him for who he is? Thank God for Jesus. And redemption. Now, all of this is the result of this. Go back with me to verse 17. Oh, that's all shout material we've just been through. Listen to what he says. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, those that are lost, is to them foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. For after that, in the wisdom of the world, by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness. Are you here this morning? Yes. By the foolishness of preaching. It pleased who? Let's stick with the Word of God, people. I'm not trying to lift myself up. Do you know that you, if you embrace Jesus and do what he called you to do, everybody in here is a proclaimer of, should be a proclaimer of truth. Don't look at me as the only preacher in the house. Look around. Verse 21, one more time. For after then the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Two things I want you to look at. I want to challenge as we move through here. Foolishness of preaching and enduring sound doctrine. We're doing all right? I mean, you look like you're mad at me. We're doing all right? Foolishness of preaching. There's a point where there is a place where we endure. Now, Zechariah 4:6 says something interesting. It says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Do we have it? Zechariah 4:6. We got to make sure I'm quoting right. Sometimes I miss it. If not, there's a bunch of people in here that can help me find it. 4:6. Zechariah 4:6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Amen. Not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. Jesus said in John 6:63, write these down if you're new or you're not familiar with them, so you have them. He says, my words, they are spirit. These aren't just any words. My words are spirit and they are life. Whole lot of talk about spirit going on here. I think we better find out what it means then to walk according to the flesh and walk according to the Spirit. It's 11:30 and we're not going to get there today. But how many have learned something this morning? Gotten a hold of some things already. I'm not in a hurry to get anywhere. I want to enjoy the journey. At the same time, I want to lay foundation so that you understand where my heart is. As we get a hold of these things, listen, the enemy, and I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, and I want to repeat it. Satan, his biggest job, His purpose, primary for the believer, is to get you to observe and obey the law and move in self-effort. 1 Peter 5:8, very interesting. And those that have been around here, you're going to hear this repeated again and again and again. You've heard it again. But 1 Peter 5:8 is an interesting verse of Scripture. It says, be sober and vigilant. Now listen, when God is speaking to me through His Word and He's telling me to be sober and vigilant. In other words, He's saying, about this, I need all your faculties on board. I need you to be serious about this. And you need to be watching like a soldier. Okay? Be sober and vigilant. Knowing this, that your enemy, the devil, walks about as, if you're new with us, or if you don't know where this is found, 1 Peter 5:8, you need to write it down. Let the Word of God be in you. Knowing this, that your enemy, the devil, walks about as a roaring, I want you to notice something, as, can you say with me, as, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may, everybody say may, seeking whom he may devour. Newsflash, Satan doesn't just invade wantonly without permission. If he was able to do that, he would do it. Trust me. I'm talking about the believer. How many know he can attack? But where he attacks is to get you to agree with things that are untruth in your mind. And we many times open the door because it sounds religious. Somebody puts a few scriptures together that don't belong together. They take things out of context. They nail down a doctrine that is untrue. Trust me, you can make the Bible say anything you want it to. In one part of the Bible, it says, Judas went and hung himself. Another part of the Bible says, go thou and do likewise. Joseph Prince said, take the text out of the context, you wind up with a con. We doing all right? So we got to stick with what the Word of God says. I want you to notice something that's really interesting. Nowhere else in the Bible is there a reference to Satan as a lion. Everywhere else in the Bible, a lion is a picture of our Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, He who reigns over all. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Colossians 1, everything that was created by Him and for Him, and without in Him, without Him, nothing was made. And all things were made for Him. And everything is held together by Him. All things, Colossians says in the King James, consists. The Lion of Judah. I think it's interesting that Satan comes with the roar of a lion. The roar of religion. I believe with all of my heart. Now, I'm expressing an opinion. You can check it out for yourself. Not something I do very often. But I don't believe Satan comes to the believer and tells you to commit out and out sin. He does to the unbeliever. It said it entered into the heart of Judas. Satan. But for a believer, how many know he can tempt, he can influence, he does all kinds of things. But what he does with the believer, he doesn't come to you with out and out sin. You know how come I know that? Because James 1 says, speaking to believers, that sin comes from this. When our own passions are inflamed. Lust is conceived, and out of our own lust, sin comes forth. You see that throughout Scripture. It's not God, you hear it all the time. The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. If you're a born-again believer, somewhere you entered into deception, and out of your own heart being deceived, you committed sin. It didn't change God's love for you. I'm sorry, if you're here and you don't understand this, we'll straighten it out. It didn't change your relationship with Him through Jesus. You can't jump into the heavenlies and out of the heavenlies like you jump off and on of a bicycle. The Bible says we were quickened together with Him, raised to sit together with Him in the heavenlies. But let me tell you something. As a born-again person, and we'll get into this later, Paul says in Romans 7 that as born-again people who are in the Spirit, if we choose to not walk according, we yield our members illegally to another master that will destroy us. Can you say with me today, sin kills, sin is stupid, the wages of sin is death. I didn't say you're going to die and go to hell, but I said there is a payment. It doesn't come from God. For God would have to ask forgiveness of Jesus upon whom He put the sins of the world. And He said, this is in reference to me, it's over. That's why we who struggle and are growing can dare to say by faith what is a truth in God, that because of my belief in Jesus, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. A divine exchange. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How many are glad for Jesus today? Now the enemy then, he's not going to come to you and try to get you. You know how I know? Because James says, number one, that comes from somewhere else. Number two, John says that if you're in Christ, you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know right from wrong. And I'll tell you what, Satan's wisdom and beauty may be corrupted according to the Old Testament, but it is a perverted wisdom. He is full of guile and deceit. He's no dummy. He's not going to come to the believer and try to get you to sin in blatant sin. That's just you. What He is going to do is something far greater with deeper and higher implications, and that is to get you to obey the law in your own effort. He is going to cause you to feel that if you put enough effort and emphasis on certain things, that somehow you can live up to the standard of God's law. That is what He is all about. He's a legalist. He is the ultimate legalist. His name in the Hebrew is Ha-Satan, the accuser, a courtroom term. And He stands continually accusing the brethren after their works and their deeds. But thank God that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who stands in the face of our accuser and declares us righteous. I'm glad for Jesus today. But Pastor Lee, if you knew, I don't want to know. What I want you to know is start acknowledging what God has done already. How many love Jesus today? Man, I wish they had me another 2 hours. I could take them, but nobody'd be here. I'd just be preaching myself happy. Romans 10:17. Most of you know this. Faith comes How many would lift your hands with me this morning all over the room? I can feel the presence of God in here right now. Heavy, real, the love of God. Would you say with me, faith is right now being delivered to me in a greater way than ever before. I want to challenge you. Make this a priority.
Don't miss being under the Word. It says faith comes by hearing. Hearing of what? The foolishness of preaching. It says faith comes by, in the original Greek, shows a perpetual hearing. Don't let this be cliche to you. Hear. He that has ears to hear this morning, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. For in the last days, there will be those who will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Tickle my ear. Tell me what makes me feel good. We've got the church, not the world, the church. We've got ourselves in a jam. We've pushed this seeker-friendly thing so far that we've trained a whole new generation. Get me in and out of here. This is not a priority. I don't want to hear any more, but Jesus loves me and everything else is okay. And you know what? That may be true, but your life will absolutely stink. God has called us to liberty. God has called us to victory. God has called us to be sons and daughters of God, empowered by the Most High. Hallelujah. If he can shut your mouth, the little book of Galatians that we're supposed to be studying on that I haven't even touched this morning, once again, says that faith, this isn't your faith, this is God's faith. So it's the same faith that moves mountains. The same faith that comes out of a heart of belief and tumbles off the lips of a believer. If that's not happening, you may be saved, you may love Jesus, but you haven't yet taken hold of eternal life. It's got a hold of you. You die today, you're going to heaven. But how many know we can walk in victory in this life? He's called us to victory. Yea, we are more than conquerors through Him who has loved us. How many are glad for that? And this is the victory, Paul said, even our faith. And this faith works by love. Powerful stuff. Are you here today? Now I want to give you a quick picture. I want to jump just a little bit because I'm out of time. Been out of time. Next week as we go into this, I want to show you Romans. Let me just finish that last thought. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The continual hearing. So in that, tie with foolishness of preaching. In that, tie together with that, enduring sound doctrine. In reference to what? In reference to the main theme of the epistles. I love the gifts of the Spirit. They're a powerhouse. But most of the epistles are about what we're talking about right now, not gifts of the Spirit. I love miracles. They follow those who believe. No doubt about it. Are you with me? But the emphasis was not miracles. The emphasis was exactly what we're talking about. 90% of everything that was taught in the epistles was this right here. Because if the enemy can shut your mouth and shut off your faith and shut off your confidence before God, He sends you in to another loop of defeat. But I'm here to tell you that He whom the Son has set free, come on, are you here today? Come on. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Let me make the blanket statement I made two weeks ago, and probably 2 months ago. And where we will start next week, And then I will fill in the gaps and I will show you. Just like Jesus said, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, you'll enjoy it. You'll see it. It'll open up your eyes if you've never seen it before. We'll look at the life of Paul. We'll look at the life of Abraham. We'll look at what the Spirit of God reveals to Paul. But let me tell you this morning that walking according to the flesh, I will show you in Scripture, means walking according to self-effort. And walking according to the Spirit means that by faith on a daily basis, every day you get up in your struggle to be like Him and to honor Him, good days and bad days, you open your mouth and you dare to believe what God has already declared over you because of the work of Jesus in you when you believed, not what you did, whom you believed. I'm going to show you in Scripture that if you can get a hold of that truth and realize that walking according to the flesh, that is self-effort. That's why the enemy is not trying to get believers to sin. He's trying to get believers to walk in self-effort. He's trying to get believers to think God is telling them that if you'll do this more, if you'll read three chapters instead of one, and when that's not enough, read five chapters in your Bible every day instead of one. Give more. Hey, give more. I want you to give more. We need to do something. But when the devil's telling you give more so that God will, that is the devil, not God, lying to you, breathing into your ear, getting you to do stuff as an exchange for, that's what he is all about. Paul said, I have no confidence in the flesh. We're going to look at that. But now have Christ's confidence because of what he has done in me. It's important for us to get a hold of these truths because we're going to look at Galatians 5, which speaks of the fruit of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh. The Spirit of God through Paul says that the law strengthens sin. And the devil uses religion and religious thought to try to constrain born-again people. How many remember when you were first born again? Come on, help me out in here. How many in here remember when you were born again? Were you happy? I'm going to ask you again, how many in here remember when you were born again? For days, you just floated. The love of God flowing in you and out and the awareness of what He had done. Do you know that God has called us under that kind of liberty continually? Do you know that the joy of the Lord is our strength? Are you aware that that flow? Do you know that the promise is this? That there's a rest for the people of God? It's a rest of faith in His love for us. And the enemy's job and what he wants to do is to put you at war, listen to me, at war with yourself and in conflict with who God is, by deceiving you and making you think that God is requiring a list of do's and don'ts. Is there a place for obedience? We're never going to get there, he said. We will. Enduring sound doctrine. Is there a place for it? Yes, but it is a produce. Fruit, not a do to get. So why spending so much time on this, Pastor Lee? Because you know what? There's people, I heard a testimony this last week. Tom, your dad was telling on you. He said this faith stuff works. It works when you put it to work. It works. How many realize that the faith of God is on the inside of you?
But most of us don't put it to work because we are so at war with ourselves. We are so consumed with the lie of the enemy and telling ourselves like we're so aware of our failure, so aware. It shuts our mouth. It shuts us down. We don't even believe that we're worthy to stand and worship. I'll tell you what, years ago, and I got to stop at Sten Till, but years ago, we had a major revival at a church that we started in Florida. And the Lord told me to begin to speak over a group of 12 or 13 young people. And at the time, I didn't understand grace, but God worked outside of that. I knew who He was. And God began to tell me a group of rebellious, cranky young people. It wasn't what I thought. I began to tell them, look, we're going to lift our hands in here. I am the senior associate pastor, and we've been through multiple youth pastors, and nothing's working. I finally got rid of that. God told me, Malachi 3, the heart of the father will be turned to the children, and then the children's hearts will be turned to the father. So I realized I got to quit hiring babysitters, and I'm going to have to put some effort myself. And then once we get this rolling, then we'll have something. And so during this process of all this, Ryan remembers some of this, we begin to speak over our kids. The Lord said, begin to speak over them that they are the answer and not the problem because of Jesus in this place. That seemed foolish because those little brats were not the answer and they were the problem. I want to smack a few of them. I mean, literally. But God gave me a word. He said, have them lift their hands and say with you, I'm the answer, not the problem, because of Jesus in this place, which gradually changed to because of Jesus in me, because we had a real revival. But I remember once that caught on and things began to happen, I remember one guy that would come in for over 8 months, higher than a kite, his eyes dilated clear out of his eyeballs. Standing in the back, I'd say, you, get your hands up, elbows up. Ears, say with all of us, I'm the answer. And that place would roar with, I'm the answer. You remember, Ryan? I'm the answer and not the problem because of Jesus in this place. And I saw that kid hit his knees. Went back to where he's at. He's back. He goes, I get it. 8 months he'd been shouting, I'm the answer and not the problem because of Jesus in this place. He said, I get it. I get it. I get it. Gave his heart to Jesus. We're so locked into our religion. We think that's foolishness, but it's the declaration of truth by the power of God. As we move out of self-effort and into faith about what the gospel is, as we learn the difference between walking according to the flesh, walking according to the Spirit, which we will get to next week, I promise. That's where we're starting. I got nowhere else to go. And look at it together. It'll help you iron out some things. Give you confidence in your walk with Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know what? When you get confident, you'll start talking. And when you start talking, faith begins to be generated. When you start believing what God has said, something supernatural begins to kick into gear. How many are ready? What about the rest of you? Say with me this morning, faith works. And it works by love. I better find out what this love deal is all about. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a lot of areas that I'd have liked to complete it, but did you get something out of this morning?
Yes.
Is it worth coming back here in the rest of next week?
Yes.
Then be here or be square.
Yes.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet together as we're dismissed. Would you lift your hands all over the room with me right now? Hallelujah. God, you are so good. Oh, man, this morning, Father, I thank you for every person that stands in this room, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is here with us and in us. An anointing, we love to hear it said, that breaks the yoke of bondage. But I'm here to tell you that it dissolves. There's no busting, smashing, breaking when it comes to you and I. It just melts away as we see who you are.
Father, I thank you today for every person in here. As we walk out of these double doors in the back of the sanctuary, Father, I ask you in Jesus' name, saints, would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for a supernatural understanding. The NIV, I believe it says in reference to Jesus' words in Matthew 11:15, where he says, let him that has ears to hear, let him hear. Puts it this way, let him that has ears to hear, hear and understand. Father, I thank you for understanding born of revelation. Father, there's people in here. They've had glimpses, flashes of faith, breakthroughs. And Father, you've called us not to live on the outside with an occasional breakthrough, but to walk in you. Father God, I thank you for a revelation of your love. A revelation of how faith that moves mountains operates in that. Father, I thank you that as we learn what walking according to the Spirit is, we cease from effort and begin to believe, which will produce self-control. It will produce meekness and kindness. It will produce a free-flowing work of God for those around us that need somebody to stand up in their defense against the enemy's onslaught. For you've called us to be your people. Come on, are you here today? Lift your hands a little higher. You've called us to be your people, your hands and your feet. Father, today I thank you for a work of your Spirit, a deep work, as we move forward in this. Say with me this morning, thank you, Jesus, that I endure sound doctrine. Thank you, Jesus. My life is changed by the foolishness of preaching of your word. Thank you, Jesus, that I can acknowledge all the good that is in me because of who I am in you. Thank you today for empowerment to do what you've called me to do. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted amen. And amen. You glad you